Hi, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Your Receipts.
Yep.
These are the episodes where we read out your dilemmas, we help you with your situationships, your relationships, your partnerships, whatever it is that you're doing.
All the problems.
We just help you out, all of them. And yeah, so it's me, your girl, Tolly T.
Audrey, formerly known as Ghana's Finest.
Your mamacita, Melena Sanchez.
And...
Okay.
Oh, no. Wait.
Okay. This is a big moment for us because we have... No. A whole icon in the room. Like, I am like, my heart is shaking. I'm trying to be really cool and be like, oh no, it doesn't matter. You guys have seen any film that's ever worth watching, mainly if Bill Street could talk, we have the amazing, the legendary, the queen of all queens, Regina King!
Hey.
Thank you so much for coming. Do you know what it is, right? Because I've like been watching you like my whole life, basically. I feel like I'm going to be really like overfamiliar. Like, oh my God, auntie.
Yeah.
She doesn't know you.
Yeah.
Put your hand down.
Yeah, but you feel like you do.
Yeah. I really do feel like I do. And thank you for being a big part of my life for the longest time and being a black woman on television
Absolutely.
And movies and kind of being like, yeah, we can do this.
Thank you.
Exactly. How are you? How's London treating you?
London is treating me well.
The weather shit, isn't it?
Yeah, but you know what? I was expecting it. I
mean,
that's what we see every time.
Oh.
Every time I've come
I mean,
to
summer's
London.
All right.
We have like a week of summer.
It's non-existent, really.
But then everyone's at work.
Yeah, it's like 4
but
days
I heard,
in
like,
June.
Last year you had like a heat wave.
Yeah, we did.
Your version of a heat
wave. Yeah, exactly. It was like 15.
Yeah. And I know, like, what's this thing called? The temperature thing where things go into shit.
Global warming.
Yeah, I know.
It's real.
Like, I know it's real and it's really bad, but then it's kind of like, oh, at least it gets nice weather.
You know
what I mean? Like, not here for a long time, here for a good time.
The ice is just melting everywhere else, but it's all right.
Exactly.
So we've all seen If Bill Street Could Talk.
Oh, yes. Did you guys?
Yes, watched it yesterday.
Absolutely love it. Oh. And aside from the whole, like, black love romantic aspect of it, you play this, like, mummy bear role that I think everybody recognises in their mother.
Mm. Yeah.
That's like, you know what?
My mum will go in for me.
And the one time I realised it was when, like, so we have a thing called bailiffs. So bailiffs are like when you don't pay for stuff.
Oh,
and then like, they come to your house to take stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
debt collectors.
Debt collectors.
So at home in the States, the bailiff is the person when you're in court. It's like a
security type.
I think we have a bailiff.
I think that's what the bailiff comes to your house.
This one comes to your house.
They come to your house. A small amount of money. It's not even that deep, right? I don't know what I forgot to pay. I didn't pay anything. But anyway, they came to my house. They were like, where's Talani? Mum was like, she doesn't live here. I was upstairs. I was like, wow, this is my mum.
My mum's got me.
She had your back.
And that's like the role you play. You had her back to the fullest. Yeah. What was it like with all of that and kind of playing that role and being able to like be that mummy bear and a strong one?
Well, I mean, it was awesome because like you, I have a mother and I had a grandmother that were those women. And the thing about it is, I think we feel like everyone has that mother, but everyone doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the and that's one of the things in the film that's really cool when you there's this one big scene.
Yeah.
We won't give it away because we want people to go see it for themselves.
But that scene is it.
Yeah, but you see these two women that are two mothers that are very strong, but they, you know, move their strength very differently.
Yeah.
And I feel like Anjanou Ellis plays Mrs. Hunt. And that's a mother who everything that she does while she's a strong woman is motivated by fear.
Mm. Yeah.
And then Sharon Rivers, who I play, strong mom, but everything is motivated by love.
Yeah.
And
you
just see those differences, like, right there.
Mm.
And you see everybody's mom in that.
Absolutely.
So true.
Yeah.
Do you know what I loved? I loved the dynamic between you and Fawny. Because it kind of reminded me of the relationship between my husband and my mum. And I feel like that's a dynamic you don't really see on film, like a mother-in-law and her son-in-law and like really riding for each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was really cute.
But that's the thing about Bill Street. I think that's what makes the story unique. And, you know, James Baldwin wrote this story 45 years ago. But you get to see the love between a father and daughter.
Yeah.
Like that, those moments between Tish and Joe. Yeah. Like, I just, yeah, like, it teared
was,
up.
It was, yeah,
like,
I won't spoil it, but there was a part of it. And I was just
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I was like, I wonder what it's like to
I wonder what it's like if my dad wasn't waiting.
Actually, you know what? I can't even trust my dad anymore because I've reconnected with that.
He called me. Reconnected with your dad.
Yeah, so I went to Barcelona a couple of weeks ago and I saw him after 10 years and I met my siblings for the first time and I took my daughter.
Yeah.
So he met his granddaughter for the first time and I feel like it just filled a void that I had for so many years.
Oh, that must have been a beautiful emotional moment.
Yeah, everyone got to see it on Instagram as well. Yeah. Like, I documented the whole thing. Yeah. It was
still going through stuff. Do you know what it is? He called me the other day and I didn't normally pick up his phone calls, so I answered. And then he was like, "Hey, how are you?" I was like, "I'm fine. How's your job?" I was like, "Fine." He was like, "So when are you getting married?"
Oh, I was like, here we go.
When I find someone. Yeah. And then he goes, starts praying and he's like, "Oh, I hope you find a man that's like a father." And I was like, "I'm not like you." But like, how dare you say that praying to me when you're the kind of father you were? And I was just like, sir, let's not do that.
So he's always getting the shade.
Basically, all the time, at all times. But yeah, so let's get into the dilemmas.
Yeah, let's.
So we're going to read out people's like issues and we're going to get like a grown perspective on it, right?
Yeah. I love that you guys call it situationships.
Yeah.
I'm going to handcuff that.
You should. Because sometimes they're not your girl, they're not your man, you're just a situation.
And you don't want to call it a relationship.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's a situationship.
So that's where we are.
Perfect.
All right, okay. First dilemma.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
"Hey ladies, I am 21 and I've been with my boyfriend for a year now. I love him to bits and things are amazing when the relationship's good. However, he can be very stubborn, opinionating and narcissistic.
Fun.
He won't do anything unless it benefits him. He can never see my opinion in arguments or conversations and always patronises me. I'm getting very bored of telling him to change because every time he says he will, nothing changes. No surprise there. I think about breaking up with him as soon as something annoys me, but I don't know whether I'm being dramatic because this is happening on top of being stressed at uni. If I were to break up with him, I know I'll regret it and be devastated, and there's nothing worse than pain of heartbreak. I don't want to break up with him, but he drives me nuts sometimes."
Oh my God.
How do you want to break up with him?
"All this is just a small part of the relationship and it constantly niggles at me. So my question and my dilemma is, when is enough enough and when is it best to end a relationship?"
Oh, girl.
You're 21.
Exactly. I was about to say, you know, it's just so interesting to hear someone so young and to think that, you know, she won't find love. Mm-hmm. I mean, the reality is you probably don't have love now. Mm-hmm. That's what it sounds like, you know.
Break up with his ass right now.
I feel like from the point you said he's narcissistic, he's annoying. You basically said you hate him.
Doesn't let you have an opinion.
Yeah. It's at that moment that you're like, maybe this person is not for me. And yeah, heartbreak is hard, but being the wrong person is harder, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think it's definitely worse than heartbreak. Yeah.
Definitely. And I think he's set in his ways. And I think that when you get to a certain point, you can't change people. And I think that's what she's hoping she can do, is like that she can change him. But you can't. This is who he is. And you either
let's stop holding on to.
You can change men.
I think, well, first of all, I wonder how old this
guy is. He's probably about 21 as well, to be fair.
Yeah. Or he might be older and getting in her head. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
We call that, you know, giving them, she has worms in her brain now. if it's an older man. I think that people have to want to change. You know, and I don't think that anyone can change someone else, but you can be in, I think a healthy relationship is when you're in it and you both realize your where you need to grow, where you need to make adjustments to make the relationship healthier.
We just need to stop holding on to potential and hope as well, hoping he's going to change. He's going to change. Babe, you're 21 in university. Focus on your studies and having fun.
Exactly.
Definitely dump him. Like,
I think
definitely dump him. Cry the quiet tears you need to cry and keep it moving.
Across the table, all four of us say,
in agreement.
He's got to.
Okay, so it's leave him, sis.
Leave him, sis.
So after three, one, two, three, leave him, sis.
Very straightforward.
Next dilemma.
Oh, it's like an another language at first. Okay, cool. Hi, girl.
Is it Spanish?
No. Oh, no, it isn't. It's just she's written it all in one word. Okay. And I thought it was a different... Anywho. Hi, girlies. Thank you for bringing me pure enjoyment and laughter during my journeys to work. Never thought I would come to the day... I never thought I would come to the day where I would have to write my own dilemma into you guys. Anyways, so my boyfriend, we've spoken for over a year now, but have been in an official relationship for 7 months.
Okay.
Being me, who has the biggest trust issues and paranoia with boys in general, I've gone on his phone and I found stuff, and my instinct told me I would end up finding.
Of course.
Flirting with two girls, one of harmless banter, let me join you in the shower.
That's not harmless.
Second, doing the absolute most, asking if she's free on Wednesday or Thursday, the day I'm abroad with my friends for their
free for what?
And saying she needs to defo. She needs defo putting in her place, and her attitude is making him want to link her even more.
Okay.
I have no idea who this girl is. I've confronted him and he won't tell me nothing, but they go to the same uni as both of us.
Okay. More disrespect.
Yeah, exactly. I've considered breaking up. It's his birthday tomorrow and I literally have no idea. Oh, sorry. Happy birthday.
Oh, yeah.
I have considered breaking up with him. It's his birthday tomorrow and I literally have no idea what to do. I want to break up with him, but I'm not sure I'm ready to because I am a weak ass bitch. He's deleted the other girl after I had to basically force him, tell him what to do after I just found these flirtatious messages. I have the best surprise for his 21st.
Fuck him, man, he's 21st.
But it's all gone to waste. He's literally my best friend as well as my boyfriend. And if we break up, I won't even be able to be his friend, even though we both said we'll stay friends no matter what. But he has disrespected me. This has shown me he's planning stroke considering cheating on me. Is it good I found out now before he actually does? Is this the end or does he deserve another chance?
No chances.
Oh, bless her heart. Honey. Well, first of all, sweetie, I'm going to need you to love yourself a little more.
Yep.
You know, just the self-esteem just like blows me away a lot of times with young women now. And not to bring this back to me, but if Beale Street could talk. Absolutely. One of the beautiful things about that film, to see the way Fonny loves on Tish. Mm-hmm. Ladies, that's the way you're supposed to be loved on.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Love me with your whole heart. I don't want any of this like small itty bitty love. I don't want small affections. I want big, like, love me hard or go home or leave me alone, like, honestly. Yeah. And that is what's so good about that film, because it is this obvious, like, I get why she stayed.
Exactly.
Yeah. If that was 100%. Anyone else, I was like, oh, my man's in jail, should I stay? Yep. Like, no.
Yeah.
Like, for what? Yeah. Yeah, but that one, you can see why she stayed or whatever, because it's just like, this is
right.
It was literally them two against the world.
A man that's going to lift up an imaginary fridge for you.
Never ever leave. But here's the thing with the young lady that just wrote that really long, as you guys say, dilemma. He's not your friend, and the fact that she believes that, like, you need to step back and think about what friend means to you.
True.
Because friends don't want to hurt you.
Exactly. I mean, I think she's not realizing she's more of the problem than he is. For herself.
I was like, why did she do?
No, having the low self-esteem and then actually considering this behavior friendly.
It's true. It's one of those situations where you know.
I think she knows deep down what she needs to do.
Well, no, she said that she did.
She said the answer. Absolutely break up with him. He's very disrespectful. And he's obviously manipulative as well, because he's targeting other girls on the days that he knows you're going to be away. So you're pre-planning your disrespect.
Yeah.
He doesn't even like her.
Yeah. And not only you're allowing another woman to walk past me knowing stuff that I don't know about my own man.
That's what you do to someone you don't like.
I always say, I want to walk into a room.
No, that's really deep in it. Like, doesn't like you. And he's telling you all the ways he doesn't like you.
Yeah, like, because I would love to walk into a room, and I've said it so many times, where women look at me and they're like, oh, do you know, I wish I was her. I wish I was in a relationship where her man loves... A man loves me the way that her man loves her, instead of women looking at you like, she knew what her man is doing.
Right.
Like, that is embarrassing.
That's
embarrassing. You don't respect me.
The shower thing was harmless.
Yeah, that was harmless.
Well, so we have an idea of what she has dealt with prior to that.
Very true.
If the shower thing is harmless, then... There was things missing in that dilemma.
Where are we at with, like, looking through phones?
I don't do it anymore.
We're not going to do it anymore. We need to stop. Because I'm not prepared to leave. Mm. I'm sorry. If I find something, I'm not prepared to leave.
I kind of feel like if you feel like you need to look through somebody's phone, the trust then it's already, you don't trust it.
You feel something already that's compelling
absolutely.
You to do that.
Yeah. 100%.
We're leaving that in 2018. Yeah.
We're leaving the phones in 2018.
Also, I'm like, I don't pay your phone bill. Do you know what? Like, whatever you're going to do, if I'm going to find out, I'm going to find out. Like, right. Who am I to go through your phone? Yeah. I can't imagine to disrespect someone going through my phone.
Because I'd be livid if someone went through my phone.
Yeah. And there's like other people's conversations in there that you're looking at as well. So it's just like, yeah.
And I think no matter what, you're going to find something that you're not going to be happy with. Because I know I've spoken some shit on my girl chats.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
so if you're bantering with your boys, I know there may be something in there that I'm not going to agree with.
There is something you're going to see.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Even if it's not intended like that.
Yeah. You're going to see it.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Great. So next dilemma. Hey, ladies. So my issue, my boyfriend, yes, it's another boy story, and I are in our fourth year of dating, and it's going great. This is our second year living together and I'm loving every moment of it. Okay, cool. Our parents also know about each other and everything is moving in the right direction. 4 years ago, we were in other relationships but broke those relationships off after 2 months apart and started seeing each other for a few weeks later. Okay, so they broke up and got back together. Okay. My ex was really bad for me and my current says his previous relationship was toxic as well from the outside. It looks like we planned it, but we genuinely just fell in love with each other and it's been a great time. Perfect. My dilemma is, I still feel like my boyfriend will go back to his ex. Like I'm here as a placeholder. He's never said anything to me to make me feel that way, but I find myself looking her up on social media and wondering what went wrong. The explanations he has given basically say she wasn't a nice person to be around. I want to know exactly why, but he doesn't say anything nasty about her, which is a good thing, I know. She's a gorgeous girl. I'm not sure about her personality, and it's really hard for me to accept that he's over her and they were on and off for 5 years. She moved into his city for him. They still have each other on social media, which I find a bit weird. He only tells me how he feels about me after I ask him, and I'm already pretty insecure about myself. Mm. I'm not the prettiest. Curviest, and I don't wear the most fashionable clothes or hair, but I'm intelligent and my career is taking off.
That's
all that matters. How do I stop obsessing over her, except that he's over her and wants me? Any suggestions could help. I'm too embarrassed to tell anybody about how I'm feeling. I don't want to come across as stalkerish or ungrateful.
That's sad.
Yeah.
This is more a story of self-love. Yeah. Anything else. Yeah. This is...
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing you can... you should first of all stop looking at her social media.
Yeah.
For one, I think that you need to stop doing that because you're going to...
Stop comparing yourself to someone else.
Exactly. That's what you're going to do. Every time you look at her page, you're going to compare yourself to her, what she has versus what you don't have. Mm-hmm. He is with you. And you just need to remember your own source. You have to know that he is with you for a reason. If he wanted to be with her, he would be with her. They were together and they're not together for a reason. But you need to dig deep inside yourself and learn to just love yourself. I know that sounds so corny and it's not really, but it's the only way, you know? Yeah. And you've got a lot going for you. You said you're intelligent, you've got a great career. And you know what? That's an amazing starting point for anything. So start looking at the things that you do like about yourself and start building upon that. But I think that a practical step would be to just stop looking at her page.
100%. Right. Well, also, I mean, I don't know how getting help is, how it's viewed here.
Yeah.
But it sounds like she needs to get down to figuring out why she doesn't trust.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sounds like that there's something else, whether it's experiences... She needs to figure out why that is the case, because according to her, he's not doing anything to not trust him. So why does she sounds like she may just not trust people.
She might just be scared of like,
and it's the point where it's like, there's nothing he can do to make her feel better.
No.
Yeah.
Like it's only internal, on her. Yeah, it's literally on her. There's nothing he can say. He can say how beautiful he thinks she is and all of this, but it's completely on her. So that's something you need to like work on outside of him. I'm a firm believer of like not being in a relationship if I'm not all the way together because I'm putting stresses on someone else. And no one deserves that. No one has to carry my burden. Like, I think it's a selfish thing to do. So, I mean, obviously, love allows that. And love means someone can reassure you. But ultimately, they can't fix you.
Mm. They can't fix you. But the reality is, with relationships, the ones that both people come with baggage. No matter how much you think you have your shit together. Mm. No matter how much he or she may think that they have their shit together. You come into it with baggage.
Yep.
The relationships where people are able to stay together for a long period of time, years, years, and years, because they're both willing to unpack each other's baggage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you are not willing to do that, then, like you said,
yeah,
you shouldn't be in any relationship.
True.
But nothing, everything comes with weight.
Yeah. All right, next.
Can we get a happy one?
I know. I'm trying to be like, everyone's be going through it.
Everyone's
like
going through some things.
Yeah, everyone's like, I'm too young for a baby. I'm going through this. I'm going through this. Do you know what? You can help us with our personal dilemmas. How about that?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've been going through some things as well.
I ain't going through shit. My life is good. It's great. She just went to Barcelona.
Okay, Audrey?
So I would say, actually, mine's kind of similar. So I'm kind of a newlywed. Are you a newlywed at 8 months, 9 months?
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Yeah,
still a newlywed. Yeah. And there is some pressure to have a baby.
Aye.
But the thing is, I do want to have a baby, but not right this second.
I've got things
to
do.
How old you are?
32.
You look awesome.
Thank you.
First of all. Yes. Wow.
So... Yeah. You don't
it's
want
pressure from the family?
Yeah, kind of. Pressure from family. It's just that whole thing of when people meet you, then they're like, oh, so when are you having a baby, blah, blah, blah. Like, literally, it's like every minute of the day.
Mm, right.
You know, and like I said, I do definitely want to have a family, but,
right.
you know, we've got things that we need to do. We've got things that we need to
and
align.
And having a child is going to put exactly, more stress on
exactly.
The
and I marriage. Also just want to enjoy being married for a bit.
As you should.
You know, so that's my concern. But then I do kind of have my age as a concern at the same time. So it is hard. But I mean, I definitely want to have a family, but just not right now.
Yeah.
How many? I mean, here's the thing. Like, now 32 is, you know, women are having babies at 40.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
42. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that that's what it should be for you or not, but I feel like if you are that concerned about age, then I would actually just go to the doctor and just check your hormones and see how they're doing.
True.
I mean,
yeah.
I just recently had my physical and the doctor was like, oh, your estrogen is high. And I'm like, oh. I know at 48, I showed up pregnant.
Yeah,
if I showed up pregnant, I would lose my mind. So, I mean, I really think that you should take that time and nurture your relationship. You guys definitely are newlyweds.
Yeah.
Don't rush. And if you, like I said, if you have some concerns that physically you may not be able to have kids in the next 4 or 5 years, then go check it out. But if not, enjoy your man. Enjoy each other for the next couple years.
That's what I want to do. Just enjoy.
Nobody else is married but the two of you. So any family members... Yeah. They have nothing to do with it.
I just say in God's time because no one can ever argue with that.
Yeah, that's the best answer for things though as well. Yeah. I guess that my issue is also the pressure thing, but the pressure to... So I'm Nigerian. So like my parents are like Nigerian and like 28... I'm 29. It's like an...
You guys are so young.
I've gone past an expiry date. Oh, you say that, but like according to my mum, it's like, why are you not married yet? Why have you not got kids yet? Like, why? Like, what's going on here? Like, I mean, it's a recurring thing where it's like, we get to the point of like, I'm going to have to move out of here because the disrespect is a lot. Because it's like... It's consistent. I should just come into my room, sit at the edge of my bed, and I just know what it's going to be.
Yeah, you feel it.
Yeah,
coming.
Yeah, just like...
Sit on the edge. Then,
she sits on the edge, and she's like, oh, don't be angry. And I'm like,
you know what you're going to say.
It's going to make me angry. Or if I'm like, oh, my friend's getting married, she'll be like, oh, when is it going to be your turn? Or like, what are you doing? And I was like, it makes me feel like everything else I've accomplished is not enough because of that void of like not being married or not being with someone. And I'm still so shocked that we're in 2019 and that's the thing that I never thought that's in my a generation of mine would go through that sort of thing. I thought it would be a like, yeah, sure, live your life. Right. Like, do what you want to do or whatever. But it's just... It kind of isn't.
Do you know what I think? I think with that one, I think, like, we're born in this generation, but I think, unfortunately, our parents, our views are like, evolved, but their views are still very old school.
Yeah.
So it's not that she's not proud of you for the things you've accomplished. It's just that in her mind, for her generation, this is what you were supposed to have done at this age.
Yeah.
So they're very much living by this kind of, like, checklist of things that they think that you should have or things that they think you should have achieved.
Mm.
So I think it's more to do with that. It's just kind of like they just haven't evolved. Like, in the nicest way possible, my parents are exactly the same, you know?
But then it's like, I'm holding her life back. She wants to move back to Nigeria and live there. And it's always like, but when you get married, kind of like...
She's taking an active role to, like, find you someone, be like, oh, this is so-and-so.
That's the last thing I've ever wanted. in my entire life.
Is she totally open to you? Like, does it need to be a Nigerian man?
Okay, so when I was about 22, well, growing up, it's always been a nice Nigerian Yoruba, like to the tribe kind of man. Yeah. Now it's just a man. Yeah. But then to be fair, I do think if I brought a white man home, my mum could actually pass out. if I am completely honest, like, I think my mum would actually pass out. I think the further she might stretch
maybe
now.
Maybe that's what you need to do so she could, like, back up. Yeah. Just bring the white man home and she'll be like, oh, Lord, child. Don't worry.
Don't get married, it's fine. Who needs love?
Yeah. Your life.
But yeah, so that's, but the thing is, my mum is a massive romantic herself. Mm. So, like, growing up, like, we didn't have, like, my mum and dad lived together or anything like that. My mum's, what, going on 60. And till today, my mum will still tell you, I'm going to get married one day.
Aww.
So she still has that thing in her. So I think she places it on, like, her kids as well as an expectation.
Well, next time she says, I'm going to get married one day, you say, me too.
Me too. Yeah, we can have a joint wedding.
Yeah, we'll do too.
Maybe we'll do a double wedding.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I think one of the biggest issues that I'm actually dealing with right now, and I'm just so emotional because I'm coming on my fucking period. So,
mm-hmm. I don't cry in front of Regina.
Let it out.
It's just like balancing the time between being myself and being a mother. I think that's...
Fine.
It's actually so difficult.
She
sometimes
said she wanted happy ones.
No, sorry.
But this is real.
No, but it's real.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel so guilty with doing things for myself, and I work a lot on doing this podcast and being with the girls and going to events and stuff. And I'm so grateful for her dad, because her dad is super, super, super amazing. Even though we're not together, we co-parent extremely well. And he's just got more of a structure for her than I can provide at this precise moment. So anytime I get a free chance, I'm like, oh, let me just spend it with her. Let me do anything I can with her. But I just feel so guilty when I'm not with her.
Right.
And it's like, I'm 27 years old. Like, where is the fine line between, okay, yeah, I had this child, take responsibility, and I'm still my own person. I'm trying to provide for her and her future.
Right. That's heavy, because I think what happens so often was we get caught up in thinking... a family structure is supposed to look a certain way. And everyone's structure should be what's best for them. And if you are not mentally and spiritually and financially sound, then you're not going to be the best mom for her. So I think you need to stop being so hard on yourself. You know, God didn't bless you with the man that he blessed you with, that God blessed you with. I usually don't address God as a he or she, but bless you with, if this wasn't the journey that it was supposed to be. You know, you wouldn't be able to do all the things that you were saying that you're doing if he wasn't her father. So receive that, give thanks for that, and... you know, continue to make sure you make that time with her special. Don't be the Disneyland mom. You know what that is?
Yeah. Where,
it's usually a term that's referenced for fathers. That fathers that come in on the weekend,
they do all the great fun stuff, but
they don't do any of the discipline,
disciplinary
things. Still discipline her, still, you know, don't let her get away with things just because this is, you know, your time together. But, you know, you're her mom. She's always going to have that connection, but be her mom.
Yeah.
Don't create... this false thing that when she's with you, oh, we get to go do this, oh, we get to do that. But have real quality time with her one-on-one. It doesn't mean that you have to go somewhere fabulous or buy her something special. You just have to be present.
Yeah,
100%. But don't just stop guilting yourself. You know, you get in the way of... The beautiful moments that you have together.
True. And also, you're doing everything you're doing is for her.
Yes, you know what I mean?
And she might not get it now, but when she's older and you're able to provide, she'll understand at some point, you know?
I do think you're hard on yourself. I do think my mum worked a lot. I remember, my mum, we'd sit in the car while she went to go work, and then she'll come back in the car. And it was like, those are fun memories for me. I'm like, oh, yeah, and then we'll go get McDonald's after. But she probably felt a whole heap of guilt. I'm always working, I'm always doing this. So it's like, I think as a child, you don't take that memory as far as your parents think you take it.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it's, oh, that was fun when I did this with my mum. Yeah, I was here with mum. So you don't, I can't remember a time when I wasn't with my mum. And there was a time, a long period, I didn't live with my mum because she was trying to make it here.
Mm-hmm.
And that memory is just, like, I literally lived in Nigeria with my grandma. My mum was in England. Mm-hmm. And I don't really remember that.
Yeah.
Because that was born here. She took me back. She hustled, brought us back when she could, and then carried on working sort of thing. So, but not for a second, I think, oh, my mum was bad for that.
Right.
I just think that my mum went in and really worked her ass off.
And each one of us can probably tell our stories about our relationships with our moms or how we grew up, and they'll all be so different.
Yeah, I just think because my mum wasn't that present and my auntie, my uncle raised me, like, I don't want her to
repeat.
Exactly.
Well, you won't because you're thinking about it already. You won't. I mean, when I went through my divorce, because my parents, when they divorced, it was ugly, and they never, I don't ever remember them speaking to each other again. Everything was pretty much like conversations through us, maybe on the phone, but not like seeing each other face to face. It was terrible. And when I first was going through a divorce, my ex-husband and I were like that. Yeah. And I think if I had not had that experience, I would not have been the one to say, look, we got to, whatever our shit is, we got to put it to the side, because I know how Ian is feeling seeing us in the same room and not speaking.
Mm.
And now we're like best friends. And this is, you know, 10 years ago, 10, 15 years ago almost. And so again, I say that to say, because it's in your mind that you don't want that, her to feel what you felt, you're just automatically not gonna create the space for that to happen.
Okay, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, give me some vodka.
Yeah,
like,
for real. Yeah, I think we have
felt good.
Thank you so much. Oh my gosh,
we're so honored.
So much.
Thanks for having me.
I feel like the whole conversation was a big hug for me. Like, thank you so much. We really appreciate you coming. We hope you enjoy London.
Yeah, I do. I enjoyed my time here.
And the weather fixes up a little bit. But I mean, it won't, but we're optimistic. And everyone, go see If Beale Street Could Talk. It is amazing.
Incredible.
If you could tell anyone one line on why they should watch it, what would you say?
Because it's a love story about family. And anyone who has been through any traumatic time, they know, and they've survived it, it was the love and support of family that got them through.
A word. And it's also very beautiful. Like, Barry Jenkins is a G, so of course there was going to be beauty. Do you know what it is? Do you know those back in the days, those like black and white like love stories that you used to get? It feels like it's just a long beautiful setting of that. There was a scene in it with the red umbrella that I was like, oh my God, that's
so vibrant.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
But of course, it's Barry Jenkins, a man who did Moonlight. So
that part right there.
It's going to be stunning. So it is what it is. But yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
We appreciate you for coming.
Thank you.
So yeah, it's been your girl, Tolly T.
Audrey, formerly known as Garner. Finest.
Your mamacita Melena Sanchez.
And
Regina King.
Hey, making tonight.
All right, so we do a little song when we finish, and it goes, Peace out,
A-Town down. Da-da, da-da, yeah. Da-da, da-da, Regina King. Da-da, da-da,
Regina King.
Da-da, da-da,
I love it.
Thank you.
Oh, that's
amazing.
So funny. I always say that song will always go hard, no matter what.
The tune of life.
From Atlanta to London.
Yeah. Oh, you ladies are so sweet. Oh,
thank you so much.
That was my favorite of the day.
Yay!
It's going to be hard to... Oh, yeah.